Today on Real Radio.
No matter what, I was watching, no matter what the Discovery Channel says. Man. No matter what the History Channel says. No matter what National Geographic was trying to feed you. The Bible stands sure and stands firm.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On this week's editions of Real Radio, our teacher delivers a series of presentations called Only Jesus. Of course, it's in commemoration of Passion Week. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in the concluding message in this series simply called Only Jesus.
Luke chapter 24, and out of all of the four Gospels, the Gospel of Luke has the most collective narrative of the resurrection morning events. And as you know, the entire theme of this week since Palm Sunday is only Jesus. And in fact, last Sunday, looking at Palm Sunday, we looked at the fact that it's only Jesus Christ who is preordained by God found in the Bible. It's only Jesus. Why do we worship Jesus? Because the Bible says it's only Jesus who the entire scripture is written all about. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's about no other. All of the prophets spoke about Jesus coming. The gospel writers, the epistle writers, all about Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation, yet future, speaks about Jesus Christ. There in that book, it announces that the Lord Jesus Christ will return to earth. And the Bible says that he's going to have a white robe, and on his thigh is written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What an awesome sight that's going to be. Palm Sunday. Last Wednesday night, we looked at Jesus' passion, and we considered that it's only Jesus. I love this. It's only Jesus who is the God who can not only obviously live, but can die to be resurrected again. As Christians, we worship the risen Lord. The Bible says that it's God who died on the cross. The Bible says that God was buried in that tomb. And the Bible says that it was God who was resurrected from the dead. We worship the God who can not only live, but the God who can die and come back to life again. And we saw that on Wednesday night. And the Bible said that he would be crucified. Jesus himself said that he would be crucified, but on the third day be resurrected. And all of that dovetails into this of the greatest of mornings in all of the history of mankind. For the believer, we will celebrate the fact of the resurrection in heaven forever. So today's our day. No matter what, I was watching, no matter what the Discovery Channel says. Man! No matter what the History Channel says, no matter what National Geographic was trying to feed you, the Bible stands sure and stands firm. I know some of you may be new this morning. Most of you, you've already heard this, but I want to make it very clear. Don't ever, ever get your theology from anyone else but the Bible, but by God. Not the History Channel, not the National Geographic, not the Daily Inquirer, even though inquiring minds want to know. Get it from the Word of God. So, Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. Scripture tells us here, now on the first day of the week, that Sunday morning, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened that as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood them in shining or brilliant apparel, garments. Then as they were afraid and they bowed their faces, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but risen. Remember how he spoke with you when he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, but on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words, and then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb. And stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself what had happened. And now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. It was then, it still is today. And they walked together on, they talked together on these things about which had happened. And so it was that while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And their eyes were restrained so that they did not recognize him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have one with another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which had happened in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. And indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. And yes, certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb earlier astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then Jesus said to them, 'You foolish ones, O slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all of the prophets," so your Old Testament, "Jesus expounded to them in all of the scriptures the things concerning himself. And then they drew near to the village, and they were going and indicated that he would go on further." Verse 29 says, "But they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to stay with them. And now it came to pass that as they sat by the table with him, that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him. And suddenly he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us?' And so they arose in that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' And they told about the things that had happened." What an awesome event. Gives me a great deal of pleasure and tremendous satisfaction to announce, and I know it might rub some people the wrong way. I said it last Friday night. But this is the only message in the world found in the Bible that is the absolute message of hope that is for your life, and it's free for the taking this morning if you listen. It's a message of absolute assurance, acceptance. It's a message of absolute forgiveness. It's a message that our Buddhist friends don't have. Listen, for a moment, let's stop being politically correct. Our Muslim friends do not have this message that we just read a moment ago. Our Hindu friends don't have this message. The friends that you and I have that are involved in cults, they don't have this message. It's the greatest message in the world, and God sent that message. We didn't make it up. And so this morning, you're going to be challenged to acquiesce to what God wants you to do. The only one who truly, as we'll hear this morning, cares and loves and did everything to get you and I in heaven. Amazing. So listen, only Jesus, it's only Jesus, number one, it's only Jesus who has you on his mind. Think about it right now. And I want you to understand what that means. It's only Jesus Christ right now that has you personally on his mind. The Bible tells us, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 22, "But the scriptures has confined or condemned all under sin, that the promise of faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe." Did you hear that? The Bible announces that each and every one of us, according to the scriptures, have been condemned by sin. The Bible announces that none of us can get to heaven. The Bible makes it clear that you and I, by our good works, can only bless other people. Our good works can never bless God unless we know him personally. The Bible says that by our good deeds, by no man shall ever enter into the kingdom of heaven. You say, "But Jack, shouldn't we do good things?" Of course we should do good things. Everybody should do good things. But the Bible makes it clear that by doing good things, we cannot earn our way into heaven. The Bible says that it's by faith in Jesus Christ alone. And the scripture makes it clear. Listen, so if we are all sinners, and the Bible says if we are all condemned, what is the good news on this resurrection morning? Oh, it's this. It's that Jesus had you and has you now on his mind. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus. That word, by the way, to look or looking unto Jesus means to have your eyes anchored or stapled, we would say today, to Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Think about that for a moment. Jesus embraced the cross last week in history, 2,000 years ago. He went through it for you. Please understand this. As much as you and I would like to hold someone's hand to walk into heaven or to make a decision for Jesus, you need to know what the Bible says. The Bible says that he's our personal Savior. Do you have a godly husband and you think you're going to get to heaven because you're married to a godly man? The Bible says you will not. Do you have a godly wife who prays and nurtures the children in the Lord and you think you're going to hang on to her apron strings to get into heaven? The Bible says you won't make it. He's a personal Savior who, listen, died on the cross because he had you on his mind. Personally, only God can do that. He had me on his mind. You see, Jack, that was 2,000 years ago. I know, that's what makes it so cool. He's God, and he can do that. Personally, he's your personal Savior, and it's only Jesus, and it's the one we celebrate today. Yes, it's true. His name is the biggest curse and cuss word in all of the world. Among those who don't know him, but among those who know him, his name is the most wonderful and praiseworthy name in all of the world. And so how interesting it is that today you need to understand and embrace the fact that Jesus Christ has you affixed to his mind and heart. He's your personal Savior. Secondly, it's only Jesus, my friend, it's only Jesus who is inviting you to his house. Think about that for a moment. It's only Jesus who invites you to his home in heaven. That's what the Bible says. Have you read it? The Bible says that God wants us in heaven with him. I always find that amazing. I got to tell you, I always find it amazing. I know it's kind of cool today to make fun of Christians, and that's okay. Actually, it's very okay. Well, your Bible, oh, that old book, who can believe it? Yeah, it's funny. You can go ahead and attack it, but can you generate some evidence as to why it should be rejected or refused? Oh, it's got contradictions in it. Really? Find one, will you? Love to read about it. Well, you know, my friends said, you're going to base eternity on what your friends have said? Well, you know what I feel, or how about this one? We're all guilty of this. If we were God, what? We'd rewrite the book? You know, come on. If man wrote this book, the word sin would never be in it. Let's be honest. If man wrote this book and David, King David, had a lot to do with the Psalms, why would a man, King David, who was an adulterer and a murderer, write that in the book about himself if he wrote the book? Think about it. Would Peter write what is written about Peter in the book? Can you imagine Rahab writing in the book, "I'm a harlot," for generations to read about? Amazing. And don't you think if man wrote the book that we would have known a lot more from Noah about how it was in that big boat anyway? You know the question you have, did Noah have dinosaurs on the ark? Noah would have wrote about that. Got these all bunch of little lizards that are going to grow up someday into these big things. The Bible says God wrote the book. The Bible says, this is amazing to me, but it's the only way that we would believe it. God says, I've written to you this Bible, and I've used people, I've used men, I've spoken through them. And without any error, without any mistake, God uses a human instrument to write history, some of it history in advance, called Bible prophecy. And God, who inspired them, the Bible says, moved through them. And we have our scriptures today that announce from Genesis to Revelation this amazing fact, that God invites you to his home. God wants you to come to his house. That is great. Look, there's a lot of you here today. I love you. Some of you I don't know. I'd love for you to come to my house, but not all at once. Imagine, the Bible says there's going to come a day when God wants all of us to come to his house at one incredible moment. Is that going to be great or what? Say, man, the crowd, the parking, the headache. No parking! Amen, no parking, and there'll be no line. I don't know, how's that going to work in eternity? What line do I get in to see Jesus? No lines! Jesus said it this way, and keep this in mind, by the way. The book of Genesis says that God created the heavens and the earth in a matter of a few days. When you're God, you can do that kind of stuff. It's surprising to me that he didn't make it sooner, but it took him a week to make everything. But do you realize when I read what I'm going to read to you in a moment, how long has Jesus been preparing heaven for you and I? Well, this is how long. John 14:1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled." That Greek word is where we get the word earthquake. Don't let your heart seismos. Don't let your heart be shaken to its core. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go now to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And here it is. That where I am, there you may be also. David said this in Psalm 27. He says, "One thing that I've desired, O Lord, and that thing will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Wow. Now I know, listen, in America, statistically, there are more people leaving church than those that are going to churches. And maybe that's a good thing, because many churches in America are dead. I wouldn't go to them either. But listen, there are other churches that are preaching the Word of God and that are growing. You're sitting in one of them. Why? Because there's one thing that we desire, and that is that we might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our life. And you say, so Jack, are you saying that this is the house of the Lord? No, this happens to be a building where we gather. You, the Bible says, are the dwelling place of the living God. The believer, the Scripture says, is where the Holy Spirit resides. And then ultimately, we are going to stop this pilgrimage and this journey we're on, and we're going to go see the Lord in heaven face to face, and we are going to enter into his presence there in the ultimate house of the Lord. And it is going to be beyond what Paul the Apostle said, anything, listen, anything that you could have ever imagined or thought of, beyond anything that you've ever heard. I had a wonderful opportunity. Many of you were there. We had a great time yesterday giving the gospel to thousands of people and feeding them, by the way. My goodness, they had mashed potatoes and they had barbecue chicken and these incredible like Dodger dog hot dogs. And they had a great, they got Easter baskets and all kinds of stuff. See, what are you talking about? Downtown LA, right in the shadows of the high rises on 4th Street. The street was blocked off, LAPD was out there, and there was a stage, and there were crosses, and we preached the gospel to these homeless people on the streets, and listen, they were so precious. They got there, they sat down, they're trying to get themselves cleaned up. One lady, she said, Pastor! And I went over to her, and I put my arm around her, and she says, "My son's been missing for years. No one's found my son. I don't know where he's at. I don't know what's become of him." I said, "What's his name?" "His name's Tim." And I go, "Let's pray right now." She had two different shoes on. Her clothes were so filthy. She was beyond description. And when I went to pray with her, I got a whiff of her smell, of her body. And I literally gagged, and thank God she didn't catch me. I turned my head away, and I almost lost it. And my thought instantly in my mind was, "Oh, Jesus, how'd you do this? How did you do this?" And I turned back, and I was praying with her, and I caught a little bit of the whiff. And it was beyond description. But inside is a mother crying out for her son. She's homeless. She's about 50 years old. She's wearing whatever she could wear. She sat down yesterday. She heard the gospel. We told her, You can eat this bread and be filled for a moment, but you need the bread of life. And let me tell you, at the end of the message, she was one of the first. She actually went right through a group of kids, little kids, to get a Bible. We said, "You want to, those of you accepting Christ, come up here and get a Bible." And man, she came running, and there's a smile on her face. How does that happen? Because I made a point in that message to get those homeless people to look behind me at those high-rise buildings and to ask themselves the question, where are those people who occupy those great high-rise buildings? Where do they live? What are they eating today? Do they have any problems? Those who occupy that world-renowned skyline, are they in Bel Air? Are they in Malibu? And I told her and I told them, it doesn't matter where they're at because they have the same need. They'll be hungry again. Jesus says, "I'm the bread of life that comes from heaven. And you'll never be full unless you eat of the bread I give you." And he says, "The bread that I give you is my life." Do you know that? Well, I know this, according to my Bible. In John chapter 6, right after Jesus got done saying, "I'm the bread of life," he also said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." It's only Jesus, number three, it's only Jesus who will guarantee your life. Wow. Guarantee your life. Your life has a warranty on it, issued by its creator. Jesus said in John 14, he says, "I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will live also." He was speaking about the resurrection. He was saying, "I'm going to be dead, but not for long, only for the weekend. And then I'll be alive, and because I'm alive, you'll be alive." Church, listen, Jesus is alive today, and because that's a fact, you will be alive forever if you come to him. Number four, it's only Jesus who can answer your question. In Job 14, verse 14, Job says, "If a man dies, will he live again?" Isn't that in your heart to ask? Some people are too proud to ask that question. Some people are too scared to ask that question. Job says, "If a man dies, does he live again?" Jesus said in John 11, "I'm the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live." And that's the question. Do you believe this? The word "believe" in "believe this" is that word in Greek which means to have faith in him. It's not just to believe, like, "I believe this message is coming to an end right now." But to believe, it's a different word. It is to have absolute faith in the fact that what Jesus just said. He said, listen, everyone, now it gets real personal. He says to you, right now, these are the eternal words of God. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? Do you know his message to you? And do you believe him when he says, "Come to me"?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called "Only Jesus." It's part of a series we've been presenting here on Real Radio in commemoration of Passion Week. On Monday's edition of Real Radio, our teacher resumes his verse-by-verse through the Gospel of Luke. Now, we've only been able to bring to you portions of this four-part series called "Only Jesus," but it is available on DVD through Real Radio. Our offer is simple. For your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to the ongoing work of Real Radio, we'll send to you Pastor Jack's four-part DVD series, "Only Jesus." Call, click, or write in order to do so. Ask for it by name if you call or visit us online. Only Jesus. Our toll-free telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, you can pay us a visit at our new realradioactive.org. Realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. Realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.